Hi everyone, welcome to the Christian Marketeers Podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I am so excited for today's conversation. I'm here with my guest co-host today, Shay Bynes, and she is here to talk about her newly released book. She wrote it 5 years ago, and God positioned her to re-release it for this hour and this season. So Shay, thank you for coming to the table and getting to chat with me today.
Yes, well, I am delighted to be here and so looking forward to our conversation.
I am too. For those of our listeners who haven't heard of you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I am, first and foremost, daughter of the King. I'm also a wife to my husband, Phil. We've been together since age 16, married for almost 24 years. We are parents to three lovely daughters from three generations. We were having that conversation before we hit record. You know, I've got three generations of kids in the household. For the last, almost a little over 10 years, co-founded Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur, a community and a movement, started in 2012, focused completely on inspiring, teaching, mentoring, advising entrepreneurs who desire to do business in partnership with God, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. The entire idea is, you know, we want to experience His best, which is doing all things with Him and having greater kingdom impact through the work that we're doing in the marketplace. And so that's what I've been up to for the past over 11, no, gosh, sorry, it's hard even to keep track now, almost 11 years now. And so I'm delighted to be here. And the message I'm carrying right now and focused in on is just the power of God's grace in our lives and our businesses, instead of relying on our own grind and working primarily in our own strength.
Yeah. And what led you to re-release this book? For it's perfect for this hour and the season that we're in. So yeah. How did it lead you to say, Shay, this is the time right now?
Yeah, there's really three primary reasons why I re-released this expanded edition. It's a fifth anniversary expanded edition. And the first reason is because after I released the original, I started noticing a trend of the types of questions that I would get from readers or those who I mentor and stuff like that. So as people were walking this out, I was seeing some common threads of some barriers that they were running into in their walks and growing, you know, and working with God. So I knew at some point, like, I want to address these very common questions. The second reason is because I was growing. So I had lived this out another 5 years. And so there was things that I'd experienced. There was deeper insights and revelation I was receiving and walking out in my life that I wanted to release to people. And then thirdly, I mean, as far as timing is concerned, we were headed up on the fifth anniversary. Five is a number of grace. And I was like, what better time than to release it? And I think it's such a necessary message in the times that we're in. And so those are the three main reasons, you know, why now of, you know, releasing that fifth anniversary edition of the book.
Yeah, and it's amazing because it's God's timing, because, you know, with the number five and grace tying together, perfect.
Yes.
Perfect synergy.
That's right.
So much. So for those who don't understand the concept of grace over grind, can you explain it to us in a nutshell?
Absolutely. So even the Merriam-Webster dictionary has a definition of the word grind these days. It's so prevalent. And grind meaning excessive hard work. And if you think of this from a scriptural basis, this is doing work or doing primarily in your own strength. And to take it another level, even the word hard in the dictionary says unyielding. So excessive hard work is excessive unyielding work being done primarily in your own strength. So that's the grind. And we all know, you know, the grace of God, but I like to define grace as just that divine enablement that is empowering us to be all that God's called us to be, to do all God has called us to do, and to experience more than you can ever experience, you know, on your own. And so the foundation of this came for me in my life many years ago with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Now, these are those common scriptures where Jesus is saying, come to me, all of those who are weary, I will give you rest. And he talks about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But this particular year, when I'd heard that many, many times, but this particular time, our pastor read it in the Message and I'd never heard it before. And it says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. And that, when I heard that, my whole soul was like, yes, I need to know what that is, what that looks like. There's a gap between how I'm living and working and the invitation that's before me from Jesus. And so that was what, you know, really was the catalyst of a shift, a shift that I will be the rest of my life.
I love that. And I love the message because one, it's so plain. It teaches the Bible in such a plain way. I use it with my kids if I want to teach a scripture, because they often will say, you know, the Bible's complicated, Mom. Could you put it in modern day language? Here's the message. There you go.
Yes.
More plain than that. So I love that that was the revelation for you. Now, grace for me, I would define it as unmerited favor. The unmerited.
Absolutely. Favor. Yes.
And we need to rest in that. For me, with nonprofit leaders, they come to me overwhelmed, stressed out, you know, underfunded, and not doing their nonprofit, even though it's a Christian nonprofit. God,
yes.
They're too busy going, I need this, I need that. I'm overtired. They're funding it themselves. How does resting in God's favor change that?
Yeah, it really does change everything, because if you receive the truth that you already have favor, like in the kingdom of God, you already have God's favor. And it's a demonstration of just his loving kindness, his sovereignty and his loving kindness towards his kids. Right. And there's that knowing that in partnership with God, he is the one who elevates and promotes. He's already in agreement with the thing that he's called you to, right? That you're walking out. And he is also provision himself. And so part of it is actually recognizing and embracing the reality of that truth. And that's actually a big part of the battle of mind is actually embracing that as a truth. Because when you do, then you realize I'm not having to do all the things on my own, in my own strength, try to force things to happen before God's timing. I can experience supernatural multiplication as I walk these things out and do the things that I can do and the timing in which I can do them without putting undue pressure and stress on me or anyone else around me. I can do that, trusting that as I move and as I go, God is with me every step of the way. And his favor is with me. It is before me. It is within me. Like, we can operate in that place of rest and in that place of favor.
Yeah. And it's operating in our kingdom identity.
Of course. Like, yes.
It's knowing your kingdom identity.
That's right. That's right.
That one step and not looking at your to-do list. But I say looking at his list.
Yes.
Like, you know, I start my day now. I used to start my day with a to-do list. Now I start my day with, I sit on the couch with my cup of coffee. It's my Bible. It's my scripture journaling. And then it's like, God, lead my day. What do you, you know, these are the appointments I have, but what do I need to let go of and what do I need to embrace?
Yes.
And with that, he lets my day flow. And I have more of those intentional conversations to help.
That's right.
Around me.
Yes. I call that surrendering your to-do list. And so, and that was actually one of the first things when I was, after I'd had that moment with that scripture and I'm like, okay, I just, there's a gap. I need to do things differently. The very first thing I did was, okay, I'm going to start having daily business meetings with God, not just the meetings where I'm, you know, typically like reading a devotional or pray or, you know, listen to my favorite worship song, but I am actually going to have a business meeting with God daily. And a big part of that was exactly what you just said, which is surrendering my to-do list. I'm a big to-do list person. And it's the surrender of that to-do list looks like, here's my thoughts, but Lord, what are your thoughts? Like, what's your heart concerning this week? What I'm doing, those I'm called to serve, like what's on your heart? What's on your priority list? Right. It's like, I can have my thoughts. The scripture says, make your plans, right? Make your plans. But we want to submit those, yield those to him and allow him to order our steps and really illuminate those steps. And so that what you just described is a super practical way of just walking this thing out. And it takes faith to do that, because you're like, all right, this is where I believe that he's leading me. This is what I believe is what he's showing me. And your step of faith is to say, this is what I believe. And so therefore I'm going to take steps forward. And I think a lot of people, I don't know if this is what you experience, you work with a lot in the nonprofit space, but I know at least a lot of entrepreneurs, one of the struggles that they'll have is, I'm not sure that this is what God said. And so therefore they stay stuck in what I call the mind grind of just analysis paralysis of wondering, I don't know if this is God, is it me, is it this, is it that, is it the enemy and all of that. And I don't know, you know, your perspective on this, but mine is, listen, if it's not against the character and the nature of God, it is not counter to the scripture, then go forward with a step with the reality of knowing that God speaks to you, you are his sheep, you hear his voice, and he's also there to course correct you as you go. So have the freedom of taking a step forward and take the next step. We're not talking leaps, but just take those steps because that helps you to cultivate confidence that you do indeed hear his voice and he is leading and guiding you and interested in the intricate details of your nonprofit.
Yeah. And I've been amazed because I've been there. I've been in that analysis paralysis where I've been, okay, yeah. God, is this really you? Do I hear you? And then yes. The confirmation comes and then it's like, wow, I really do hear you. And then it leads you that confidence that as you listen, he's but are we listening? And that's what I find is the biggest struggle is they don't trust the fact that they're worthy enough to hear from God, that they're so worried they're going to make a wrong step. I was taught growing up that, you know, God was going to zap me with a lightning bolt. And so for me, I was always scared that I was going to step out of the line of God's love.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get zapped with a lightning bolt. And now it's just resting in the fact God loves you as a nonprofit. God loves you anyway.
Yes.
As a nonprofit leader, he loves you and he loves the work that you're doing. And you're getting out there and you're spreading God's word through whatever that looks like for you. And you rest in that. You rest in that, that you don't, you know, you're not some person that can't hear from him. It's an easy, we make it more complicated than it is.
That's right. The picture that, you know, there was many ways that God would encourage my heart in those times. For me, I didn't grow up thinking that I would get zapped, but because I was a pretty performance and achievement oriented person, I definitely had concerns of like, I don't want to get it wrong because I want to perform well, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember as I was learning and growing and taking those steps, it's just, I kept getting this picture of, you know, me as a child and that, you know, as a good father, I mean, you don't look at your children, your babies, you know, and say as they're trying to walk and they're trying to do whatever it is, even that you're a teenager or whatever, as they're doing their best to do something, if they make a mistake, we're not like, oh, you idiot, you know? And the guy's like, I'm proud of you. I am pleased with you. You're desiring to walk this thing out with me. That's my heart concerning you. And so, yeah, you are going to make some mistakes. You are going to tumble, but let's get up and dust ourselves off and keep going. Right. And there's such a freedom of allowing his perfect love to cast out our fear of getting things wrong, making mistakes, you know, all of those things, knowing that he is pleased as you walk this thing out with him.
Yeah. And that's so powerful. And that is just like, people don't know that enough. Like they're just too busy. Stuck. There's so many people that come to me and say, I want to start a nonprofit. And then they come and they go, okay, well, I can't do it. Bye. You know, and then they come back later and they're like, I think I want to do it again. It's the back and forth. And really what it is they're not in their confidence as a Christian that God is leading and guiding and that, you know, God speaks, God moves.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, that's so incredible. All right, we are going to take a quick pause for a commercial break and we'll be right back with more of a conversation with Shayla.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Life Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Life Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Life Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Hey, welcome back to the Christian Racketeers podcast. I am here today with my guest co-host, Shay Bynes, and we have been talking about so many things, God's favor and just how it rests on you, God's love for you, and getting rid of that grinding that you do and striving and resting in God's love. And we were talking on break a little bit about how the spiritual warfare as a nonprofit leader gets to be heavy. Have you experienced that in your business, ministry, everything that God's called you to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's opposition to godly purpose, right? And so there is an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, that's all the enemy's job is to do, right? And then there's also the enemy of our own thoughts, you know, operating against ourselves. And so, yeah, I absolutely have. I will say that there's been a couple of tools for me that have been super powerful for working through those things. One of those is, I call it the lie truth exchange. So if I'm experiencing anxiety, there's something that's going with my thoughts or something that I don't want to do, or I have fear, or, you know, whatever that is. One of the things I sit before the Lord on is I'm like, what's the lie I'm believing? And I ask the Lord, what's the lie that I'm believing? Sometimes I immediately know what it is. Other times it's like a revelation from the Lord of what it is. And then I'm saying, well, what's the truth that you want me to know? Sometimes they'll send me to a scripture. Sometimes they'll just speak a thought, you know, through me, just whatever that is. And then it's like, I'm going to take that lie and I'm going to put that lie at the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to embrace the truth that you've given me. And I'm going to take steps in faith. This is the very life of faith. I'm going to take steps in faith based off of the truth that you desire for me to know. And this is a tool that I would literally do sometimes multiple times in a day. And sometimes it was multiple times in a week. And now it's probably happens two or three times every few months, right? And it's like, but it became a rhythm of my life in Him. It's like, I'm in partnership with you, Lord, and you are with me. You didn't leave me. You're with me. So what's the lie I'm believing? I need to know. What's the truth you want me to know so that I can take that next step? So the lie truth exchange has been super, super powerful for me personally, walking this out. The other thing is faith and the power twins of faith and patience and faith and obedience, because these things don't happen overnight, right? It's like you can't start the nonprofit and then believe that tomorrow you're going to have everything that you need to walk it out. And the whole vision that God's shown you is going to take place. It takes a stick-to-itiveness that you're having with God, because it's with faith and patience that they receive the promises of God, you know? And so it's like, so you have to remind yourself of these truths and have accountability and community around you that can rally around you and hold your arms up when you're weary. And it's like, they can help and pray it through with you and walk it out and encourage you to continue on. Community has been everything. The lie truth exchange, the faith and obedience truth, and community have been very influential for me over the last decade plus.
Yeah, and that is so, so key. So I've got a client. I want to see what you would do in this situation. I have a client who came to me and they said that people are like talking bad about their nonprofit, and so, you know, God's telling them that they probably shouldn't go forward because people are talking bad about them. But my exchange with them was, people talk bad about people in the Bible. Like, you don't need to look for other people's approval for you to know that God's calling you to do this work. And don't worry about what the world says. So when those attacks come, how do you, you know, what is the lie truth exchange there?
Yeah. It's funny. I actually used to, I had a fear years ago, that's connected to this actually, because I had a situation where somebody sent a message. I've had a few of these instances where someone's like, oh, especially in entrepreneurship, oh, you're trying to fleece the sheep, or, oh, you're, you know, you're trying to rob the people of God or whatever, because you're selling a product. You're trying to rob the people of God. The worst of which I got was, you're a joke. You are a joke to the kingdom of God. And when I experienced that one, that was the one that hurt the most. Like, you are a joke in the kingdom, right? And that almost took me out for a bit. And I remember sitting with that with the Lord, like, Lord, like, I'm just trying to do what you've called me to do. I don't need all these shenanigans and, you know, all of this, right? And the Lord had me do this thing. It was really interesting. He said, he gave me the names of three different people. Okay. I won't list their names, but he gave me the list of three different people and said, I want you to go follow them on social media and I want you to watch what happens in their comments. Right. So I go and I follow these people and I start watching their comments, and it doesn't matter what post they would make, they were getting all kinds of craziness in their comments. And I'm thinking, Lord, like, he didn't give me any other instruction other than go look. Right. So I'm looking and I'm like, Lord, this is not helping me. This is just confirming all of my issues, right? And so about a week in, I'm like, why are you having me look at this? He says, now I want you to look at what's happening in the comments. And I'm like, look again, right? And I'm looking again in the comments and I'm realizing, he says, what are the people doing? The people whose posts it was. I said, they're not doing anything. And he's like, okay. And look again. And I looked again. He said, what else do you see? And I saw people who actually knew, like, I saw people coming to the defense of the person. And I was like, I see people coming to the defense. And he says, I am your defense. And sometimes I send people to defend you too. And when he gave me that, those were the truths. You are my defense. And I don't have to defend myself. Yeah. And there are people that will defend you as well, because your reputation in me speaks for itself, for those who know your heart. Right. And so those were truths. This was like in 2014. Those are truths that I hold on to this day, where as platform increasingly expands, that I'm still holding on to from when the platform was way smaller, but I was dealing with that junk, because that would have made my now way more complicated. So those are the truths that I stand on.
Yeah, I remember when we got our first attack, we had our first troll on Chris Rockhurst, and they're like, why are you doing this as a business? You know, you really should be giving away your coaching, da da da. I remember, and our friend said to us, that's the sign God's elevating you. You're getting the attack. That's the sign you're coming into a new season of elevation. And I'm like, oh, okay. Bye. You know, I didn't, not to that person, but to the troll, you know. Not letting the troll and their comment about Christian Racketeers or Mercy's Light Family rest.
That's right.
In my thoughts.
Yes.
And be like, okay, this person has their opinion.
That's and right.
Bless, move on. Bless.
That's right. Move. Yes. Bless and release.
That's what I did. I just bless and release. I had that one time with a relationship with a friend, and God's like, you need to bless and release. And I'm like, I hold close to people. I can't. And he's like, no, I need you to bless and release. And there was blessing in the release.
But yes.
We let things go, like those comments, like the people that come against us.
That's right.
It's a better on the other side.
That's it. I mean, if we're focused on the audience of one, it's like, God, this is what God's put on my heart. This is what he's called me to. You know, I'm going to be focused in on that. And so it's like, when you hold on to those truths, it's just like, you can navigate. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It does. It can hurt your feelings. It can be, you know, frustrating or whatever, but it's like, but if you just get yourself right back aligned with God's heart and mind concerning it, it just helps you to continue to, you know, work through and bless people and work through, you know, the stuff, right?
I mean, because when you work in the third world, you get a lot of attacks from outside opposition, from
sure.
people that rise up against you. And that's where
yes.
I find people say, well, I got to walk away, because we had one client that, you know, she had a whole bunch of stuff rise up against her, and she was ready to shut down the nonprofit. And she came to us and we prayed over her, got her in the word and deeper. And now she was able to go back out and do even greater. Like, she's building this center for yes. these orphan children and their families. And she said, you know, I couldn't have done it without the power of prayer. So where has the power of prayer really helped in your life and in what God has called you to do?
Yeah, it's everything. Because when I think about prayer, I mean, because prayer has a lot of different expressions, you know, in terms of what that looks like and what that means. But when I think about prayer, like the prayer with pray without ceasing, I think about a lifestyle of prayer and a lifestyle of communicating with God. Sometimes that's like really strategic, you know, decreeing in alignment with the scriptures, and it feels like warfare prayer. Sometimes it's just, you know, those conversations that you're having, you know, with God. Sometimes it's just that that praise and gratitude, you know, prayer. So to me, it's like all the various dimensions of prayer are the foundation and the fuel, really, for the entire, what I call wild and crazy and amazing adventure with God, you know, with whatever you're doing as a mom, as a wife, as a business owner, as a leader, right? In all the various areas, it's like, it's the foundation and the fuel. Intimacy with God, which is rooted in prayer. Yeah.
Yeah. And your relationship with him is key too.
That's everything. Intimacy with God is everything. And prayer is a key component of intimacy with God. Yes.
Yeah, it is. And so many people are so... they're so afraid to pray. They're like, I don't have the right words to pray. And I'm like, just open your mouth. I tell my kids, like, the simplest prayers that my four-year-old prays are these random prayers, but I love to listen to her.
Yes.
Because God has told me, as I listen to my daughter, that's his heart.
Yes.
So when I was really struggling one day, God was like, just listen to Peyton. Listen to her babble. Listen to her talk. That's how I want your heart to be, you know, that childlike faith.
Yes.
She knows that I can do anything.
That's so good. This reminds me, I was speaking at a conference a couple months ago, and one of the other speakers I was sitting with, and we were having this conversation about, you know, childlikeness in the kingdom and childlike prayers and stuff like that. And he was telling me a testimony of a young boy who, in his family, the only prayers that he was familiar with was a prayer before eating. You know, bless, you know, God bless this food kind of thing. And when he was believing, his mom needed healing, and he was trusting and believing God for healing for his mother, knew no scriptures, knew nothing, just really just wanted Jesus to heal his mom in this moment. And he put his hand on his mom and said, bless this food. And you know, his mom was supernaturally healed.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love stories like that. It's such an example of just like our heart intention, not having to have all the words right, but that connectivity and the goodness of God.
Yeah, he is so good. And I wish more people would realize that. I wish they would rest in his goodness.
Yes.
Rather than rest in all the things. I think we focus on culture as so much of what God is against instead of what God is for. Because he's for us, not against us.
And that's right.
And when we rest in his promises and in his love, there's so much abundance and peace in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up knowing about Jesus and knowing really nothing about Holy Spirit, knowing about the Father, knowing about Jesus. It wasn't until my early 30s where it was like, oh, wait. The Holy Spirit, like, is here with me, leading, guide. Like, this is a practical application of my life. Like, I can grow. I didn't have intimacy with God and like know him for years later. And life with God versus life for God, which is where I was before, is radically different. My with includes a for, but when it's just for, then it's like you're just trying to, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can and check the boxes, but it's not with that intimacy with him, which is why that Matthew 11, 28 through 30 hit me so hard, because it was that I heard that with. I heard, walk with me, work with me, keep company with me. And that was standing out to me. And I was like, no, there's something that I'm missing. I'm missing a with factor here that will change my life. And it did. It really did.
Yeah. And I love that so much. All right, we're going to take one more commercial break, guys, and we'll be right back and to wrap up with Shea Bynes.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine. And I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya. The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others. So I left my law to begin my own business.
I founded two nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit, Ministry to Thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits.
Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Everybody, welcome back to the Christian Rocketeers podcast. Hope you have enjoyed this incredible conversation that we've been having today. Shay, where can people connect with you? I know you're on Facebook. Where else can they connect?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, even LinkedIn these days, Shay Bynes, S-H-A-E-B-Y-N-E-S. And to check out Grace Over Grind, just go to graceovergrind.com. The book's available, paperback, Kindle, audiobook. And it's just one of those tools that it's like, It'll shift you. It'll shift you from a four to a with. And even if you're in a with, it's going to take your with to another level.
It does. It does. Carrie and I have read it, and we've read it second time, and we've read your other books, and it definitely has impacted what we do. So everybody, if you want to start a nonprofit, if you're thinking about a nonprofit, connect with us at christianmarketeers.com. Thank you, Shay, for this incredible time and conversation that we've had today.